Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Fourth and final hour, Darren Donick and Chase here on this Monday afternoon. Darren McFarland and Willie Donick here with you. Chase McCabe is actually filling in today on the afternoon show with the GM, Floyd Reese. So that's coming up in less than an hour following the conclusion of our show. Right now we bring in Nick Suss, Clarion Ledger, covering all things Mississippi. We've talked Ole Miss, we've talked Mississippi State with him in the past, and boy, did the Bulldogs get a lot of attention Saturday night with their big win over LSU. Nick, how you doing?
I am doing well. Thank you all for having me back.
Yeah, thanks for doing this. Look, let me start off with something real quick. I just wanted to see if I could get a little clarification what you're hearing down in your state, because I saw where Mark Stoops today, Kentucky's coach, said the SEC presidents were voting again on being able to transfer within the conference. We went to Knoxville last hour, and we were told Jeremy Pruitt today in his weekly chat with the media said he had heard nothing of the sort. So what are you hearing in Mississippi about what the SEC presidents may or may not be doing?
Well, lucky for you, I just typed out Lane Kiffin's exact quote about this, so I can read it to you word for word.
Great.
I did not know that was public, Kiffin said. That's why in the previous question I said we were supposed to hear more today, but yeah, I guess that's about that. I was told the vote, I believe, was happening today. I think we're supposed to find out. That would obviously change things. I don't think there should be an SEC rule. That's not for my guy, Otis Reese. That's just in general. You have the rule in place that you have to sit, but if you win an NCAA waiver for things, I don't know why you wouldn't just have to go over an SEC hurdle too. It doesn't make sense to me. I obviously know why it was. People didn't want people transferring within the conference, but that's not what it's supposed to be about. It's supposed to be about the student athlete. There are circumstances that a kid wins an NCAA waiver. The SEC, in my opinion, shouldn't be blocking that. I just think it's because it was set in stone years ago to block kids. So that's why they're reviewing it. There's obviously people that feel the same way.
Wow. Okay, so that was maybe a Mark Stoops, whoops, maybe he shouldn't have said that? Is that what I gather from that?
I don't know if Stoops should or should not have, but you give Kiffin the platform to exonerate himself from being the first one who said it, and he's going to talk about it.
So what do you think, what are you hearing would be the vote down in your neck of the woods? How do you think Ole Miss and Mississippi State would feel about that? How do you think their presidents would vote?
I would assume Ole Miss for sure would try to get the rule changed, because they've been fighting an uphill battle for going on 10 months now, trying to get Otis Reese eligible from Georgia. And there was a lot of talk about that last week, because Otis Reese put out a statement saying that Kirby Smart pretty much guaranteed him, if he finished out the year last year, he'd be given a unblocked release to transfer anywhere he wanted. And then he heard that that block was contested by Georgia, and there's a lot of he said going on with the situation. I can't speak for what Mark Keenum, the president of Mississippi State, would do, but I would be very surprised if the Ole Miss presidents and athletic directors didn't come out and say, hey, we're going to try and allow kids to transfer if they get the waiver, because A, they want one of their best players to play after they just got torched for 644 passing yards and the starting safety that would have been the best DB in their room wasn't allowed to play. But B, I just think they see it as you shouldn't need two waivers. If you get approved, you get approved.
So if Ole Miss is a yes, we think Tennessee, Auburn, and Kentucky would be yeses. Wouldn't it be fair to say this thing is headed down the path of being overturned and changed to where you can? Is that a fair statement?
That's an assumption you can make. I don't know if I
is it am willing simple majority to too, or is it got to be 2/3, 3/4?
Yeah. Do we know what the vote needs to be for it to be kind of overturned?
I don't know. I mean, I learned about it from Stoops this morning, and what Kiffin said. That's the extent of what I know as well.
Okay. Let's talk about what Mississippi State did at LSU. KJ, let's just start with KJ Costello. We were kind of laughing earlier in the show. Do we think Stanford maybe is going to go back to the drawing board and maybe change their offensive philosophy maybe? KJ Costello did not look like that in the Pac-12.
No, I mean, just living where I live, being down here in Mississippi, if you had told me that last week would start with Deion Sanders getting hired at Jackson State and that would be the second most unbelievable thing our Mississippi football team did. It was a hell of a week for teams in Mississippi. I mean, not just Deion, not just Ole Miss, but I mean, Mississippi State, that was one of the best games that you've seen an offense play, especially a passing offense, and the way they used the pass and said, we don't need a running game. We have a running back. He's going to go for over 100 yards through the air, too. We're going to use our best athletes, and we're going to exploit an LSU defense that's kind of on skates trying to replace eight guys who might be playing on Sundays right now. It was a hell of a game. I think Mike Leach, you can't accuse him of surprising anybody. He did exactly what everybody thought he would do, and it worked. I mean, it's not like he came out and he'd run the triple option in the past and now suddenly he's doing this. His last three quarterbacks were all grad transfers. He did it with Gardner Minshew. He did it last year with the kid whose name I'm blanking on at the moment. And now he's doing it with KJ Costello. He knows how to build an offense around a quarterback he's never worked with before. And those quarterbacks put up just bonkers numbers.
Yeah, I guess it's pretty good to have Kylan Hill back in the fold, huh, for the Bulldogs as well?
Yeah. Yeah,
no,
he's a special running back.
He's pretty good.
I felt concerned when I voted him, like, preseason first team All-SEC. I'm like, a Mike Leach running back? What am I doing here? And then you see the first game, you're like, oh, yeah, no, he's going to touch the ball a bunch. He's still their best athlete on offense. And they have some other guys that look really good. Some of those receivers on the outside looked like animals, and I know LSU was missing Derek Stingley Jr., and I know that Elias Ricks was a true freshman playing in his first game, and they had some other guys that just weren't the guys that they had last year in the secondary, but, I mean, it's no excuse. You're LSU. You've always reloaded at DB, and you're not supposed to let a team that I think threw for more than 250 yards once last year, you're not supposed to let that team go for 600-plus.
Talking to Nick Suss, and boy, it was just so amazing to watch that game. And Nick covers the scene down there at the Clarion Ledger. And so, Nick, it seemed like it was really interesting to hear Gary Danielson's perspective as it was unfolding, and because he got into a lot of the philosophy of the Mike Leach offense, and it was as advertised. It was, when it's working well, this is what it looks like. They obviously didn't win every game at Washington State, but they showed. The ability to be kind of a giant killer. So did you in any way see this coming at all?
No, if I'm being honest, if you look at Mike Leach's history, he's really never had great teams year one. The thing that surprised me was how quickly it's worked. Because I think his first year at Washington State, he won three or four games. It took two or three years at Texas Tech before they went from being middle of the pack in the Big 12 to being an actual contender in the Big 12. It's never clicked immediately before, unless you count his year as a coordinator at Kentucky or Oklahoma. I thought it was going to take a little while, and I thought teams early in the season would be able to take advantage of the number of turnovers and just the mistakes the teams are going to make trying to play that fast and that wide open. And obviously they made mistakes. I think KJ Costello turned the ball over four times. It just didn't matter. They were so effective with these big plays and with finding holes in the zones and beating one-to-one matchups because LSU loves to play man coverage and they were just winning these man battles. I just think it was not a surprise to see the offense work. But it was a surprise to see the offense work on the road week one against LSU of all teams.
Nick, one thing that Danielson said, and I started taking it further in my mind, he was saying the Mike Leach offense is, you know, we try to find the open grass, right, or something to that effect. You know, they're trying to fill the grass. We run our guys to the open grass. And one thing Danielson was stressing was LSU was playing the man coverage. And so they just found the matchups, and Costello obviously was on fire. He put a lot of really nice touch passes in there, but he hit guys in stride, and they just ran wild. It never seemed like LSU changed the defense. Is that what it looked like to you? Like, I was thinking somewhere in here, try a zone, but I'm wondering how often they practiced it. Maybe they didn't have comfort in doing something they hadn't practiced very much, but wow, did they ever get burned, and it never changed.
If I'm being honest with you here, I didn't get to see the first half of that game because I was covering the Ole Miss game, and they kind of overlapped, so I can't tell you the full scope of the game. But from what I saw in the second half when I finished work from the Ole Miss side and started watching what State was doing, LSU's got a first-year coordinator, and they've got 8 or 9 new starters on defense. I know Bo Pelini's a really experienced guy, and he's put together some great defenses in the past, and I think LSU's going to be able to bounce back as soon as this talent starts to play together more. But I don't know if it was a circumstance where Mississippi State was just beating them one-on-one, whatever LSU tried to do, or if LSU was being bullheaded and saying, we have the talent to stop it. Let's just do what we know worked last year. I don't know which one was the case because I wasn't down in Baton Rouge getting to see from the sky view, but from what I saw watching CBS like the rest of y'all, it just looked like this was a LSU team that the offense wasn't clicking the way it did last year when it had maybe the best offense in history. And the defense just didn't have answers to stop a team that didn't care if it ran the ball.
Okay, so leave us with your impressions of Florida and Ole Miss. I mean, obviously the Rebels were able to put points on the board, but they could not slow down Florida's offense.
Yeah, it's a funny coincidence right now that Mississippi State leads the NCAA in passing yards per game, and Ole Miss leads the NCAA in passing yards per attempt. Whether you believe in efficiency or raw data, those are arguably the two best passing offenses in the country right now, and Ole Miss has looked great. Elijah Moore, I think, had 227 receiving yards or something. He was 6 yards short of A.J. Brown's school record for a single game. Matt Corral was hitting his spots, and if you factor out sacks, he also ran for 81 yards on pure scrambles. He didn't even have a designed run call. The offense looked great, but this is an Ole Miss team that was worst in the SEC last year when it came to allowing passing yardage per game, and they came out and Kyle Trask threw for 400 and something yards and threw 4 touchdowns to Kyle Pitts alone, 6 touchdowns in total. It's a secondary that needs a lot of work, but I don't think they're going to play many other teams that have an athlete like Kyle Pitts or have a quarterback like Kyle Trask. So we'll see if Ole Miss's offense can bail the defense out, as has been the case really since the end of the Hugh Freeze era with these electric offenses and just nobody defenses.
Yeah, good point. Good to talk to you as always. Thanks for doing this, and we'll talk to you down the road.
I'm happy to do it, y'all.
All right, Nick Suss, Clarion Ledger, covering Ole Miss and Mississippi State. He does a really good job down there, all over the scene down there for the Clarion Ledger. We'll come back more on the other side. We'll get back to the Titans, really. Also get back to you wanting to weigh in. We've had a lot of reaction today, and we're more than happy to talk to you again on our phone lines or text lines. Whatever you saw over the weekend that got your attention, you can talk to us, 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Of course, that is our phone line and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. More of Darren Dunnick and Chase next.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.